Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Remember, the quiet ones always have the darkest secrets. It's time to uncover them on Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
We're going to delve in now to the intricate legal proceedings surrounding Dwayne Keefe D. Davis. You might have heard of him if you're following the Tupac case, the sole individual being charged in the 1996 murder of Tupac Shakur. Davis's defense hinges on a 2009 proffer agreement with Los Angeles authorities, which he claims grants him immunity from prosecution. However, Clark County prosecutors argue that such immunity doesn't extend to murder charges, even though they were talking to him about murder charges, especially across state lines. Recently, Judge Carl Kearney upheld this view, or Carly, denying Davis's motion to dismiss the charges. To shed light on these legal complexities, we're joined by defense attorney and former prosecutor Eric Faddis. Eric, given your expertise here on both sides of the courtroom, how might the judicial nuances and the specifics of the proffer agreements impact Davis's defense strategy, considering he is saying, you know, this whole time I thought I could talk because I let it out there and I have immunity, which I think also then led him to do interviews, write a book, and put it all out there.
These proffers are precarious, Tony, and I'm always reluctant to go into them, and I only do them when there are very defined parameters and rules in place, because for this very reason. Did Keefe D believe that he was getting immunity for the acts that he was talking about, or just for the information he provided during that proffer? Because if he's just getting immunity for that information he provided, and then subsequent information comes out from him outside of the container of this proffer, arguably that subsequent information could lead to some kind of legal action, like new charges. However, if he was promised immunity for the acts about which he was discussing in the proffer, then his defense holds more water that he should have immunity. And so it's really these very fine points that we've got to delve into to decide how to figure this out.
How do they line out a proffer with someone like Keefe D? I don't know all the details of how they ended up having the conversation with him, but it was police that had the conversation and had this proffer agreement in place. Is it like literally a document with legalese on it saying we're not going to go after you? Or is it kind of more of a, hey, we're not going to go after you, tell us what you know?
You know, so often it is the latter. So often it is a, quote, gentleman's agreement, and saying, hey, you tell us all we want to hear, and you're honest with us, and we're not going to go after you. Now, sometimes some lawyers demand something in writing. I always would. But I don't know whether there was such a written document in this case. But it just shows the quagmire that people can get into with these proffer agreements when they think they have an expectation of immunity. And all of a sudden, 15 years later, that might not be the case.
There's so many questions about that. And the judge has already said here, we don't think your proffer agreement stands up to this. Obviously, to his surprise, you can see kind of the shock on his face in court where he thought, well, I gave you this information, but there's a lot of loopholes there. I guess this is where if you're giving the agreement, you got to talk to your legal counsel. You can't just take the cop's word for it that you're good on saying something like this. Is that accurate?
Oh, Tony, yeah, and it reminds me of, I don't know if you recall those in Los Angeles, there were some kids, really, who went around and started robbing some celebrities' homes. And one of those kids got an attorney, and the attorney allegedly brokered an agreement with the police saying, hey, he's going to tell you everything about robbing Paris Hilton's home and what he got and everything, and you're going to go easy on him, right? Or you're going to not charge him. And he thought that that was in place. He gave all this information. Lo and behold, he's charged with felony upon felony upon felony. And so these things are just very dangerous from a criminal defense perspective. perspective, and you're helping out the government and not always getting what you expect in return.
Are there other agreements? We've seen other things where people flip and people provide information to the government in exchange for immunity. This is not true immunity, is it? What sort of agreement should have been in place to truly protect Keefe D if he was being an informant and explaining to them, look, Orlando Anderson had the gun, I was the one who provided it, and we'll go into the Diddy stuff allegations in a moment, but what should have been in place for him so he couldn't be prosecuted for informing the government of what actually took place?
Here's the thing, Tony. Not only do defendants in that position need something in writing from the investigator, the police, they need something in writing from the prosecutorial entity that could go after them. And so usually how it's done in terms of best practices is you get a document and you have the lead investigator sign it and you have the prosecutor sign it. Now, do you also get the federal prosecutor to sign it? That's less common. But it says, hey, in exchange for providing this information, this client is not going to be charged with anything that regarding what he's discussing. And that should have been in place, should have been signed and really ironclad before you just expose your client and let them talk about all these crimes.
You would think, but I know kind of a lot of things in that world are just kind of, especially in the hip hop world, not necessarily done with a lot of legalese. Although, you know, Diddy, he had the non-disclosures. He knew what was going on at his parties of his sign this and we're good. At least so he thought. Which brings us to the other point in this discussion is the now 180 page, I believe, document that outlines that conversation that Keefe D had with authorities all those years ago. Diddy's name comes up a lot. I've seen anywhere from 40 sometimes to 60 sometimes. It's somewhere in there. Now, of course, that doesn't mean he's guilty of anything. Diddy has never been charged with any sort of crime involving the murder of Tupac Shakur. These are allegations that Keefe D was making. Keefe D, however, made these allegations back in 2009, well before he was charged with any sort of crime in this. So it's not like, oh, shoot, I'm under investigation and I'm being charged with murder. I better come up with somebody else. He's been saying this for quite a long time. A lot of people have been saying this for quite a long time. And now these documents have been put into evidence, meaning it's not just out there on the street and just his words. They're literally in the case. So that being now introduced with the name Diddy introduced into the case, what does that mean for Diddy? Again, these are just allegations coming from Keefe D, but it is now we have someone implicating him in a court of being involved of ordering this hit on Tupac in 1996.
Yeah, I mean, there's no secret that there was an East Coast, West Coast rap beef going on at that time. There's no secret that Diddy and Tupac were central players in that and that they had some hostile interactions. And so surely if Diddy is implicated in a way that has sufficient evidence to bring legal action against him, that there's no statute of limitations on murder. Diddy can't outrun this by the passage of time. So he would be charged if there was such sufficient evidence. That being said, Keefe D has some credibility issues in this case and just generally. Yeah. And so the prosecutor has to weigh that and decide, hey, are we going to hang our hat on Keefe D's statement or are we going to try to corroborate this with additional stuff?
But the fact that they're throwing it in now, does that tell you that they've already kind of made up their mind on what direction they're going to go with this, that they're going to run down this road that, yes, Keefe was involved. He's already admitted he was involved. That's, I think they're really arguing that point of it. Orlando Anderson was the shooter. Keefe gave the gun, but it was more of a hit than it was Keefe wanting to go kill Tupac for the hell of it. It was allegedly a hit, a gang hit that was coordinated by Diddy in response to the diss track Hit 'Em Up that Tupac released shortly before his death. With that being said, and that all being put out there, how are they going to weigh this in court? What sort of weight does any of this have of saying, you know, Diddy made this hit, if they're going to try and argue it as fact with something that has never been prosecuted, something that's never been charged, Is that going to hold up in court? Can they introduce that? I mean, it's in evidence now. So is this going to be an attempted strategy, the fact that they've introduced it the way that they have?
You know, Diddy is certainly kind of the villain du jour of the time. Yeah. And it's easy to want to pin stuff on him. And perhaps the government in California, who has been hard-pressed to solve this crime, has had a lot of pressure on them to make a move, to do something, to hold somebody responsible. You know, they're still endeavoring to do that. And so are they going to go after Diddy? Maybe. But you know, would the response possibly be, hey man, it's been like 30 years or something. And you know, couldn't you have done this when you had the information in 2009? There's just a lot of questions about like why they would slow play it and how that and sort of the public's reaction to those measures.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.